John Wanova, Channel Wanova, continuation visit with Debbie, this Thursday, the 31st of August, 72. Channel Wanova, and a continuation visit with Debbie, this Thursday, the 31st of August, 72. And a continuation visit with Debbie, this Thursday, the 31st of August, 72.
Is it apple?
It comes up and turns, looks like a bent recorder. Uh-huh. And
yes, you know what the weather is.
You just hit it lucky that time.
Uh-huh. I did.
You think we got an inch?
No.
You don't think so?
It was raining more than that last night. It didn't quite make an inch.
That's right. It was just hard all of a sudden.
Yeah, it didn't last that long.
Mm-hmm. You didn't get to ride?
Mm-mm.
You just barely got on there, did you?
We fed him some pears. Missy will push Molly out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, will she?
Debbie taught her that. Mm. I didn't teach her that. She really, really runs Molly around. Molly's bigger than she is. She sort of looks at her cross-eyed and Molly runs. Strong character, Missy has.
You brought her up to be a princess. So.
Mm, she is a princess. That's what you get.
Well, what did you teach Missy?
Rubberhead. At the worst thing. Well, I was saying to Rick, I didn't really teach her that. She just started doing it, and I didn't discourage her.
Like it was a post.
Mm-hmm. She figured that actually if they needed a nice ride, that was her face.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. That filly is surely lovely.
Oh, did you see the filly? Oh, you saw the filly, didn't you?
Well, I saw her. We went out again today. She's just beautiful.
And she sees that, notices everything. Before you get out there, she's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Over the ears pointed in that white blaze.
Well, she was that way even when she was sick.
That's right.
Gone through that all that bout of colic.
Mm-hmm.
Got all those shots and all that oil. And they were there feeding her, and she had her eyes just looking all around. Got her nose down the bucket, eating away.
Debbie got here just in time for that.
But not that when the work started. They didn't know it.
Didn't know it was going to be so bad. Mm.
That's right. I guess I left the same time you did, didn't I? That's right.
No, really
not. When that's right. That's right. I remember because you were there when we found it. And we thought it was all over and we left.
Mm-hmm. Because her nose was going down.
Mm-hmm. We said so.
And we thought it was going to be all right and that was coming. I had no idea.
And then that night when
it
started
feeding,
she had the colic. Remember that?
That was the next night.
Oh, my. I think it's let up now. Here we go. I had the road to drain.
Yeah, I had to drain it.
Yeah. It was good. So they'll dry off pretty fast, though.
If it were to stop, you know, just completely stop.
The horse will dry off.
Steam off. Not hot enough for you to steam.
Oh, it has to be hot.
But they'll, you know, dry out pretty well.
She was hungry.
Yeah. What is it, 2 o'clock?
Mm.
Well, I don't get to. One thing that is difficult out here, I should go in every few days. No one has good salad stuff. We can get this kind of lettuce. Rick brought us there in college, or his mother did. And but you know, you don't get, you know, I just get so hungry for mangoes and papayas and, you know, even a hard chip, all sorts of things. And we just simply do well just leaving potatoes.
You know, they used to bring those in the store. We used to get the variety of the salads, the endive, the escarole, the romaine lettuce, and everything. And we would order a case on Monday. Because if we didn't order it on Monday, they'd just ship us 2 on Tuesday. Just to get it out of the warehouse.
Oh, really?
So if we ordered Monday, they wouldn't do that to us. And they figured we had our allotment. And we put half the case out on Monday. On Wednesday, we'd throw that half out and put the other half out.
Just wouldn't sell?
If you sold 2 or 3, that was good. You had to order it, and you lost money on it all the time, but you had to order it. In other stores, you couldn't keep it in stock. It was gone like that.
It depends on the area. You know.
You have to usually be in a fairly rich neighborhood before it's bought, and the Cubans wouldn't buy it. But we had a special delivery by the Cuban direct supply for all their vegetables. A malanga and Cuban sweet potato and things like that. So, and we could just sell piles of that stuff.
That seems ironical that you had to order the stuff that wouldn't sell.
You know, that's the way it is. The warehouse doesn't get stuck with anything.
Uh-huh.
They send it to you.
Uh-huh. Well, how can they do that? Why don't you refuse to accept it?
Because selling it from warehouse to stores where the company makes money and the stores get rid of it. Break even if you can.
didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Well, no. I knew a friend of mine who used to load trucks over at the warehouse. It was a great summer job or something for a student. Because you get all kinds of overtime. You paid $2 or $3 an hour. It's hard work, heavy work. It kept you in shape. And he said the rule over there was, if it's a damaged case, ship it out. And we used to get cases in, and it looked like somebody ran a forklift over it. And you just, what is this? You couldn't open it. You couldn't do anything. You just take it off the truck and drop it in the garbage can. And then mark it short and send it back to the warehouse, and they'd give you credit.
Mm.
It was so funny. Mm. But you get a case of oil, and the box would be all wet on the outside of the oil, and just, you open up real carefully, and you hear the glass crinkling around and dropping down.
So the same people own the warehouse that own the store, is that it?
Yeah.
So that?
It's the Winn-Dixie stores, quick check. I've never quite understood how they made any money, but they make it. Because our store was, an inventory was $11,000 in the red, which is very serious. It means the manager might not be looking for a job very shortly. But then we got it down to 1,000, which was bad, but we'll still keep you on the payroll unless you keep working for us. If it was within $500, that was okay.
In the red?
Hmm.
If you broke even, that was just, wow.
Hmm. This is mine. I never knew how a grocery store operated.
Well, Rick didn't look at it. He had to get outside it to look at it, didn't he?
It always scared me when the new executives, those that had just been promoted, would come in the store, and they have beautiful new clothes on, the latest style in shirts, and the fine woven tie, and this beautiful pattern. Everything was just so, and the hair was just so, and they had a watch on, the Winn-Dixie emblem in the watch. I just went, you can't go that far. Get away from me.
Rick, would you like some more of these tags?
Yes, I would.
Fresh baked and let you do it.
That'll be fine. Thank you.
You have some more days?
No, thank you. I'm fine. Thank you. Do people go, work for Winn-Dixie and start out being managers and then just stay? Or?
And you start out as bag boy.
I mean, if they start out as a bag boy and then work up to the watch.
Well, that's more or less what my father did.
Mm-hmm.
He never worked in stores, though. He started as more or less an office boy and worked up to management. And that's been 27 years. And I could spend the rest of my life working for them. When I'm 50 or 60, you come by in my office and Vice President Reynolds or something. See me with this painful look on my face like, what have I done?
Did you work there when you were in college a lot? Or?
I worked off and on. I started when I was 16 or 17, just part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And then through junior college. And then after I got out of college, I worked full-time for a year.
Just to see if you could.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't.
A certain amount of security, you know. You always look for Thursday. Your paycheck came in, you already had figured out just what you were going to make. And you're always looking for ways to pick up overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to wondering, what's it going to be like not to have a paycheck to look forward to on Thursdays? And I haven't missed it. There's too much else to look forward to all week now.
Mm.
I never had missed it.
Not it. It's been a year now. I haven't missed it at all. We never got things like overtime in the hospital now. We were lucky if they got around paying us.
My grandpa used to eat, except he had white bread. He put big chunks of butter on it,
uh-huh.
And bury it in molasses. Mm-hmm. And he'd for dessert, and the doctor just screamed at him because of his heart, and he refused to ever quit. Mm. We'll sit there and watch him do that, just go, I'm above the path.
You like molasses?
Mm-hmm. Debbie says that it's just as bad for students to stay in hospitals as it is in hotels. They don't see anything but 75 other American students.
I think student hospitals are as bad as Hilton hotels now.
Now.
Mm-hmm. You don't see anything at all. You're just in a very narrow, closed little. You're with a lot of Americans.
Mm. Well, what are they like? A cave in the side of the mountain?
Mm. I never saw any of those. Oh, they're just beds for you to sleep through the night. You know, and they kick you out again in the morning. But, I mean, that's fine, and I think it's fine to do things inexpensively if you want to, but what I object to is that they don't ever see anybody but all the people that they see all year long. Like people who can't be away from private bathrooms, so they go to a Hilton hotel. Same thing, I think you learn so much more just staying in a French hotel or staying in a German guest house.
And staying in the same place, Debbie says, if you just got 3 months, you better stay around the same place. Instead of running around too much. Wasn't that your thing?
I once made the pompous statement that I would never go anywhere for less than 3 months. I haven't either.
Would you consider you stayed in one place this time?
No. Oh, yeah. I saw a lot this summer. But see, I had already spent 4 months, 5 months in one place. Before that.
Okay.
So then
the first time?
I had. No, in France. I stayed in Nice for 5 months. And Nice. Then this summer I traveled. But the first time I went, I stayed 3 months in Greece, in Athens.
Why did I actually spend 5 months in Nice?
Yeah, she took a little turn there once in a while, but she...
January.
Oh, you mean this summer?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
trip?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
this
yes, yes. Yes, that's right. You did stay a good while there, didn't you? They don't, the public place is out in the streets, but they don't invite you in so much.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. That's what I found anyway. Maybe, I think it was typical of France.
I think it's set in again, see?
Yeah.
Another 9 inches coming up for the middle of the leaf.
Yeah. I can remove this if you want.
She had a servant too, 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So
that wasn't a real old house.
No, they just built it.
With marble floors?
Yes.
I didn't think you could have anything like that anymore.
Yeah, you can, I guess. Yeah. And they had, do you know what French doors are? They're the doors that just, all their windows open out.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the nicest things about France, is that they don't have screens.
No.
Anywhere. You just open the window and
can't
you're outdoors.
Can't imagine what it would be. Oh, bugs and.
No, they're not any bugs. It's really, I don't know. I never saw any bugs. Once in a while, there was.
No mosquito.
No.
I'm moving.
And it was just so nice, you know, to wake up in the morning and they have shutters on all the windows that you close
yeah.
at night, and you open the shutters and then open the glass and you're just outdoors and. The windows downstairs on the first floor were all doors. They were that high. And that's how you got in and out of the house. Just through the windows. You just open the window and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful. And it was the same way in Germany, too. There were no screens on the windows. Just open the window and you're outside. Really loved it. You couldn't do it in Florida because of the bugs. But I don't see why you couldn't do it other places.
In New York, in any of the big cities.
A lot of the windows don't open either.
Yeah. Or if you open them, you've got bars in front of them.
You couldn't have a screen on But the windows would come all the way down to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the way to the floor. It'd be double doors like that, and they'd just open out and fold out. That was so nice. You sort of felt like you were living outdoors all the time, because there was no, the house just sort of gave into the garden very naturally.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing to keep you away from being outdoors.
Windows came all the way to the floor, guys. And then Villa.
Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Villa.
Mm-hmm. The French doors. Yes. All the windows on the first floor were doors. And outside there were no screens. And anything.
All the,
down.
No, I didn't get that. All the windows were doors?
On
say?
The first floor,
yeah.
The windows were the doors. They were the French doors that opened out. And that was the only window in the room, would be the door to go outdoors into the garden. So that you felt that you were living outside all the time. All you had to do was walk out the window.
Yeah.
I like that.
How about that? And the window came flat on to the floor.
Mm-hmm. It was the size of the door there.
That it made me see the villa.
Well, it was very close to the street because...
So you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All the houses in France are very close to the street because, they're again, they're very private, and their garden is behind the house,
yeah,
rather than in front of the house. So that the villa was right up against the street. There was sort of a little gravel space right in front of it, and then the garage, and then you could either walk around to the front and go in the front door or go in through the kitchen, which was face the road. And everybody usually walked in through the kitchen. They had a big modern kitchen, and then they had a big room that sort of went around the kitchen that had all the doors that opened out into the garden, and that was sort of the salon and the dining room with windows everywhere all around. And then they
went
had
around the kitchen.
Mm-hmm, the kitchen was where you walked in from the street, and then there was a big L-shaped room like that around the kitchen. And they had sort of a guest room and a sort of a little apartment that was a bathroom and a guest room on the first floor. And then upstairs they had four bedrooms. And you went up the marble stairs upstairs. And then they had an attic that they had just made over into a music room. So you know, had wanted to have a place for his stereo and all his records. So he built... they had this attic, and he converted it into a listening room while I was there. Put the right kind of thing on the wall so that the sound would not reverberate too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all. I mean, it was big though. The rooms were very big, and there was a garage downstairs too. A little bit like Florida houses, except that a lot of the houses there are two-storied, and in Florida that's sort of rare. But in Nice you can live indoors and outdoors at the same time, which is harder in northern France because it's cold. And they had an enormous garden behind the house. Huge.
Flower garden?
Mm-hmm. A flower garden. We planted some vegetables. I told them I wanted to plant vegetables. They had artichokes growing, just wild in the back. And so we ate, when artichokes were in season, we used to eat artichokes every night. And then we planted a garden, a vegetable garden. And, you know, and I went out and dug for about a week. We planted beans and radishes and what else? Peas. And squash, and then she put in a couple of things just as I was leaving. She put in some melon, I think. The only thing that came up before I left were the radishes. The only thing. Carrots we had, too.
And she liked to garden.
She loved to garden. She said that was because she was English, and all English people like their gardens. But she used to spend all her time in the garden, mowing the lawn, and just working in the bed, in the flower bed. They had a lot of different kinds of trees, too. They had to plant all their trees when they built the house. And in France, they have an ordinance that if you plant a tree, then you have to get government permission to cut it down again. Because they don't want in France to be
really
defoliated.
If
you plant it, and you build a house and you plant a tree and it's too close to the house and it grows up and it's too big and it's going to fall on your house or something, it's very difficult to cut it down because you have to have government permission to do it. But they had quite a mixture of trees in their garden. They had a weeping willow tree, and then they had a couple of cherry trees and a couple of olive trees, and what else? Some other fruit trees. They had some oranges and some grapefruit.
Oranges?
Yeah. And grapefruit. But I thought it was sort of interesting that you'd have cherry trees and olive trees next to each other.
Uh-huh. And then citrus.
And citrus. Uh-huh. It's not as warm as Florida, but it's a very warm climate, I guess. It's easy to grow.
Well, olives grow on the southern Mediterranean
coast. Well, Nice is the southern.
Well, I mean African Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. And southern Italy and Greece.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of olive groves around Nice, in the mountains behind Nice.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do olives grow? Like plums?
No, they're... Yeah, have you ever eaten a raw olive?
No.
And picked one off a tree? We decided one day that we should taste an olive off a tree. I'd only had the kind that are already... What do you do to olive? Pickle it?
Yes,
when you
do.
Pickle it. Which I thought it must, of course, taste wonderful off the tree. They're very sour. Very, very sour. And they're very juicy when they come off the tree. Bite into it and the juice just sort of runs out. And I guess when you pickle it, that takes care of the juice. But they grow like little cherries on the tree.
And it has a stem?
Uh-huh. It's like a cherry, sort of. I mean, that's what I'm reminded of. When I see an olive tree, it looks like black cherries all over it.
They're not green?
When they're ripe, they're not, no. They're black. That's what a ripe olive is, a black olive, and a green olive is before it's ripe.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't know that.
Well, you get them green in the store, preserved, put up in...
But that's a green olive that's been picked and pickled.
I thought that was just another variety.
I think it's a green olive.
It's just not
before
ripe.
It's ripe.
No, you see, you find the jars and it says ripe olive.
Yeah.
Those are the
black
ones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But... The olives to them, are, like I stated, they're not costly. They just grow everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And olive oil is an expensive too. But you harvest olives, picking them up off the ground. They don't go climb up in the tree. I guess that's because once they fall to the ground, then they're ripe. And if they're still on the tree, they're not yet ripe. And so you see the people out gathering them on their hands, you know, sort of. Not on their hands and knees, but bent over double, picking up the olives. I was saying, with little donkeys.
With the donkeys?
Take the donkeys out, because they're in terraces. It's so mountainous around Nice that they plant in terraces like China, I guess, like just that I've seen is the terraces in China.
Yeah. Yeah,
nice.
But they built that big house.
Yes, they did.
With all the marble.
With all the marble.
Hmm.
Well, geez whiz, I figured it was just some old construction that they had picked up.
No. Yeah. Very new and modern.
And the kitchen's modern.
Mm-hmm. And a dishwasher dishwasher was the only thing they had, really. But it was terribly modern.
Yeah. But...
Yeah, just
the surfaces
right on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have wood stoves.
No, electric.
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 I don't know why, but I always think of houses in France as being red brick. I don't know why I would think that.
I'm not.
What was the construction? What was the material?
They were brick, but they were in the Mediterranean. They're all painted, and they're painted wild colors. They're painted pink with purple shutters, or green with pink shutters. I should show you some pictures that I took around Nice. The craziest colors in the world, these houses.
You took pictures?
Yeah. I'll bring some out.
But you're not a real, you don't do that. like a lot of people do, take pictures.
No. Phoebe took so many pictures. She was always running around with her camera. I mean, I enjoy taking pictures, but I used to get so tired of carrying things that I couldn't stand to carry a camera when we'd go somewhere. I always felt that the camera was between me and what I wanted to look at.
Yeah.
And I like to have pictures of people that I, you know, took some pictures of that.
Because you can buy postcards if you
mm-hmm.
want.
If you want to see what something looks like, you can buy a postcard and that's a better picture.
That's what I used to tell.
And what did you say the dining table looked like at the end of the meal, did it?
Like a battle had gone on. It was wonderful. The bread is what does it. Because the bread just crumbles when you break it. It's all crust. If you don't like crust on bread, you're out of luck in France. And you break a loaf, and it just all crumbles.
They
and
put
they
Rick over here right to see. You can't see that Rick sitting right there.
Yeah,
right.
Get out of
here. No, I can't see him. He's so fidgety.
Why does he fidget?
He's so damn healthy.
We spot that him all the time. He's so healthy. Ain't it awful? And Debbie's so healthy too. I'm healthy too.
Where were we?
We were breaking bread. Let us break bread together.
You know, I've thought of that many times. 2 hours just to talk and break bread, see?
That's what Debbie says, she just misses.
From 9 to 11.
It's just wonderful. So wonderful. They just take time to sit down.
Yeah.
They don't have to rush off somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you don't elbow each other like we do at this little table.
That was a little table was a little bit bigger than this one, but not much. There were, how many of us were there? Just five for that.
1, 2, 3.
Monsieur now, Madame now, Vincent and Jean-Pierre and me.
Two of the children.
And sometimes the mother.
And the mother was there. Mrs. Rice was there for about a month. Just a month and a half.
Yes. And the children sat it out?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jean-Pierre didn't at night because he was too little. He was only 4, and so he went to bed. But Vincent did. He was just 18.
He's the one that read to you.
Mm-hmm. He was a medical student, struggling away with microbes.
At 18.
See, they don't go, after they get out of lycée, they go directly into college and whatever they're going to study. Like if they're going into medicine, they go to a medical college right away,
mm-hmm.
or into law or something like that. Because it's very, when you have a high school degree in France, it really means something. You have to take a lot of state exams to get it, and a lot of people don't get it.
Oh, really? It's not like ours?
No. I mean, they take exams 2 years running. The first year is French. They just take a series of French exams so that they have to be able to get along in the language really well. And then the second year, they take, the year that they graduate, they elect what their exams will be, what areas. And they have to pass them in order to get a degree, the baccalaureate. And they're also a year older then. It's sort of as if they've had the first year of college in this country before they even start university. And then for a lycée, the in liberal arts, for
mm-hmm.
example, it's just 3 years to get that.
Oh.
So it's like that, yeah, we go 4. So it's sort of as if they've tacked in the first year of college onto high school. But it's a good deal more rigorous. I think they learn a lot more of academics when they're in lycée than we do in high school. They couldn't. To get a high school diploma is sort of like taking comprehensive exams in an American university. And they couldn't understand when I said that I had graduated from high school not taking any exams, and also from college that I didn't take comprehensive exams to get a degree. And they were amazed that I would have studied 4 years in a college and not taken any kind of exam to show that I merited my degree.
I
don't understand that.
And then they don't have those little exams all along.
No, they have exams at the end of the year. They take. They only go to school, well, in Nice anyway, they only went to school from about the end of October until, when did they get out? The first part of May. So that for about 5 months of the year, they're on vacation. They just shut down. Everything shuts up. Everybody goes on vacation.
5 months of the year?
It's very inefficient. They don't have any kind of summer school. Anything like that. Lock it up. Everybody goes away.
Let's go to France.
Let's go to France and teach. Yeah, that's the place. 5 months vacation, plus 2 weeks at Easter and 2 weeks at Christmas, and a long weekend every weekend in May for all the saints. And
oh, for all the saints.
Mm-hmm. May is a big saints month. Ascension and Annunciation.
I don't think it's French that you want us to be. I think you just want a little more friends.
Maybe.
You just spoil, that's all.
Yeah. Well, I just have to go back.
She got the nice part of it, Faye. Right to the heart of it, isn't that nice? Why are you waiting on?
I have to get a bicycle. I want a bicycle next. I want a bicycle in the Loire Valley. Go up through the chateaus.
Then another week of chat.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of on the way. I mean,
yeah.
It's a little bit out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, if you did it again, Phoebe wouldn't be there necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You take Rick and me with you.
Alright.
Faye will go with you. She'll go with
you. I'll get a bicycle and go next spring.
Oh.
Next spring? Well, let me tell you. That's the cheapest living, Faye, in the world. You don't have to do anything for entertainment because everything you do is entertainment.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said. Mm-hmm.
It's all just like the books will show it. Anything you do, even go and buy some olives, it's just like a reading Moby Dick.
Yep.
You know what she's going to do this fall, don't you? She's going to isolate herself somewhere and write till her hand falls off.
Well, let me tell you, she can do that anytime. But look at her, she's in such good shape.
I have to keep walking.
She stays around here, she'll eat starches and she'll get pudgy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Let me tell you, David, now this is just selfish, but there's no compulsion in it. I wish somehow or other I could get a little of this off on a piece of paper. You see, for these chaps I know who will never have it, I see, I was in hopes you'd show up a little bit while Suzanne was here. She really was... came and tried to hit you, and all she needed, you know, was just a little touch of it. She just so full of control, you see. She looked like she got manure on her shoes. And she's gifted and all like that, and she read Shakespeare. But she had nothing, she got no feeling at all for that. A little bit. Somehow, if you get off, you can get a little off on a manuscript, can't you, Faye?
Sure.
I think you can. I used to read this New Yorker letter from Paris, and
Janae,
yes. Yes. I'll read it more because I'm limited the amount of reading I do with these papers I've got. They just made me nostalgic. And I didn't know anything about France, you see. All I knew about France, you could put a symbol. I didn't have a feel for it. I saw the same side.
People sleeping over the heaters.
That's right.
You'd love them.
Yeah. Now your letters, they'd be fine, except, well, I could try them, I don't know. I could let somebody read one through your letters. But I don't think they're quite circumstantial enough, Faye. They're not sustained enough. You don't quite get it, huh? Like the visit up there where the terrapin is, was.
Well, if you were... Yeah, that's right. Writing a letter is one thing, but if you would just sit down to
just
write it
off. Writing about it.
A little more sustained,
yeah.
I'd say. See, Emily Dickinson's poems are actually incomprehensible. You see, she wrote this little, she uses the hymn meter. That's all she has to go by. There's not enough others. So what you have to do is read Charles Anderson. His explication of those little things. And that brings them to life. And I, what it actually does, I think, is sustain them. We really have a good one. We never did get to the debacle. What did she call
it? Yeah, I want you to. Yeah. What happens to the table, Daddy? I just can see that.
It looks like a battle. It starts out very nicely. You lay the cover, that's what they call it, and it's just the tablecloth and all the plates and everything.
And then the
bread comes out.
Yeah.
And people start breaking the bread. And you never put bread on a plate in France. You put it beside your plate on the tablecloth.
Right on it?
Yes. Yes, it's I know, it's hard to get used to. We're taught to put everything, you know, on the plate and not, but they rest the fork and knife out like that, too.
Well, they set the table?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they set the table with everything turned like that, upside down.
Yeah.
But then when you eat, you rest like that.
Oh.
Instead of putting it across your plate.
Oh.
And you put your hands on the table, I told you that. You know. Don't ever put them under the table and you have them on the table all the time. And you eat sort of like this, you know, you hold on to everything when you eat. And just keep tearing the bread apart and then the cheese comes out, and then after the cheese the fruit course, and so if they're oranges or bananas, then that the peels sort of get added to the breadcrumbs that are strewn up, and by the end of the meal you look at the table and it's just little mountains of what's left of the meal, and which they clean up very practically by just sort of pulling the tablecloth together and walking outside and shaking it out the door.
Now this is the end of Debbie. It's Thursday, the 31st of August, 72, around 6:50. Channel 1 over, around 6:50, and now Cookie comes up. After supper on Thursday, the 31st of August, 72.
Thank gosh. When did you come? Where did you come from?
I just dropped in a cloud out there.
Well, bless my bones. You're just in time for supper.
I don't eat.
We always eat again.
Well,
you know.
Sure get you a cup of coffee going.
I never used a fan as much as I did this summer. I seem like I can't sit down or stay in the house.
Well, I can't hardly either. Inside, there's got to be some air moving.
Some air moving. I think, if I hadn't been so heavy on my feet, I'd have fixed something up the ceiling to take it out, you see. That's where you can't ventilate from down here.
No, you want to pull it in here and out the top.
Yeah.
blow it out of there because heat goes up. See?
Yes, and all that stuff up there, and you can't touch it. Well, I knew it, but I kept thinking it would moderate. Oh, man.
We've had some rain down here, ain't you?
A little bit. Yeah, we had 5 inches one day.
Oh, they've had some rain up the country.
Oh, I understand they have.
Lord, Dad can't even put his head up.
Just standing out there.
Just standing out there.
Yeah.
Hey,
keep seeing.
Howdy, howdy. Yeah, he's got his clover and orchard grass. My clover's done started to die.
You mean it's been held up that long?
It's been held up that long. He just can't get it cut. He can cut it, but he can't get it up. So what you used to go out there and burn gas cutting it when you can't get it up? You got no hope of getting it up.
And it'll be worse shape on the ground than just standing up.
Standing up, he can turn the cows out and they'll get a little bit of it.
A little bit of it. How long will that clover hold up after it's ready?
Well, if you wait 3 weeks after it gets ready, well, it's done started down here.
Well, you see that wet weather, usually 3 weeks ain't nothing once it starts getting wet.
No. Even the ground's molded underneath it.
Yeah.
Sure has. The ground is molded underneath it. He's got up about 1,100 bales.
That do it?
No.
Well,
I'm gonna try to bring about 40 bale back with me when I go up to get my horse.
Get your horse.
Yeah. That wicked look you gave him, babe.
What did I tell you first? That I was gonna go horse trading, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, I did. Went horse trading.
Yeah, you told us. You
sent
me. You haven't got much water there,
have you? I got enough. I got the most beautiful pinto. Looks just exactly like Rowdy, only just a little bit taller.
Oh. Not big.
Yeah, he's big, but he's taller. Leggier. I mean, the body, their bodies are about the same size, body-wise. But Tony's just a little bit leggier than Rowdy. You talking about something that's going to be sweet, and I hook them two together, that's going to be something.
Oh, really? You mean they're matched with
Rowdy? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They're clashing anywhere.
What do you think
Dave's
gonna think?
Well, I tell you, and she made that ugly move about them motorcycles. I tell you, I'm after me being cut up the way I have, I'm just a little bit scared to put her out on the road.
Yeah.
Now my dad bought this horse and told me, he said, now here he is, take him to Florida and put him with Rowdy. That's it. He said, don't put Babe out on the road. He said, I'll give you that horse.
Well?
Because he said, I know you're going to put him on the road. I said, yes, sir. If I get a chance, I will.
Babe's such a beautiful horse.
Ain't she, though? I'm just looking at him out there.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, he'd just screwball anyhow to take them horses over there at that homecoming with all those nuts.
I ain't going to do it. I ain't gonna do it no more. Not a deal like that. Maybe I can put him in a parade after I get this other horse down here and get him work with Rowdy a little while.
I don't know.
Put him in a parade. And but as far as taking him out like that with a bunch of them screwballs like you say, I just ain't gonna do it.
They got no sense. And they're mean.
Yeah.
Not accidentally, it's on purpose. Unless you talk about it.
So we, Daddy knows I like to work horses. Ain't nothing I like to do any better than work a good pair of horses. And if I hadn't have got knocked out, things have been a lot different. I'll guarantee you, Andrew. But I got knocked out. I'm still knocked out, but I got to go back to work.
Well, you got another day or two.
They released me to go to work tomorrow. Tomorrow's the first, Aunt.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think you'd go to after Labor Day.
They released me to go to work the first. September 1st. Yeah. But I'm going or not.
You can report in and see what they're doing.
And,
take a little bit of time.
I don't want to go back to work yet.
Better get you from the rooster.
How you going to manage that, all that taxi business?
That's just, that's it.
Yes, that's it.
200
miles a week
and
you don't get nowhere.
That's just what it amounts to. 200 miles a day and you don't go no place either.
That's what I mean, a day.
I think I drove 850 miles since yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Are you
I brought I had two girls with me. And
yeah.
I turned them loose just like turning the cyclone loose.
You had to leave then,
didn't you? I did. I left. I don't put up with it. For 2 weeks. I told Dad, I said, if I'd have been a little bit more persuading, I'd have brought Guy with me. He said, I wish you had it.
I wish you had it too.
I probably never missed anything like I did.
And that homecoming up there, Dad and Mama, if it hadn't been for our immediate family, there wouldn't have been no homecoming.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Oh, you mean yours, your family?
Dad's, it was a whole Cook generation supposed to have had it. Well, Dad's children and grandchildren,
yeah,
in-laws and outlaws, was the biggest crowd there. There was 54 there, and out of the 54, 39 of them come from Dad's immediate family.
Oh, I never heard you talk about the other parts of it.
Oh, yeah. See, Dad's got a bunch of brothers and sisters, and all of them was to meet together, see, on this particular day and have a homecoming.
Yeah. Up at your house?
No, up at the Roane County 4-H campground.
Oh,
Oh, a campground.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great big building there.
Yeah.
And 54 present and 39 of them was in and out of Dad's Sunday.
Yeah.
A lot of folks.
And eating. Guy Miles, you never in your life saw as much food.
No shortage.
No shortage at all. No, they didn't ration nothing.
I hate to think about it. Here we're trying to eat this old dry meat and these old canned beans. Oh, boy.
Mama had fresh killed chickens out of the chicken house.
Doing that way.
There's no comparison. There are no comparison. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. I can.
You know, little by little, we get weaned away from things that taste good.
And then you get a hold of something and you don't care how it tastes.
That's right. You get through, you just eat sort of
that. That's right.
Absolutely. Mm. But now let me tell you, that food up there, well, now it will change your mind. Well, now I'll tell you before we go any further, I promised Dad that if I got to come next year, I'm going to take 1 week.
Let me tell you.
For the trip.
Let me tell you. I may not have to wait until next year.
You may not.
No.
Well, do you want to go back with me Thanksgiving when I go get my horse?
It's possible.
All right.
It is possible. No, that's too short a trip. I want to stay a while.
Well, we can stay. We'll go get Tony, and you can see Cassius, and believe me, you won't believe your own eyes when you see that animal.
Oh, really?
He really grown up?
I would love to see him.
He weighs over 1,000 pounds.
He still looks like he had his shoes polished.
That's right. He weighs over 1,000 pounds.
He's the prettiest thing that we ever had out here.
He's the prettiest thing that ever had on his property.
Well, I'll tell you, there's another pretty one out there now, but he's not quite as alert as this one.
Yeah.
But he's a butter.
You know, Guy, I ought to be kicked all over this farm. I haven't even been out there and looked at your calves. I don't even know what you got out there. I haven't even saw them.
Heifers are pretty this year.
They wasn't done calving the last time I saw them.
Oh, haven't
they? No. I never saw them.
Well, you haven't seen little calves. He was the last one.
I haven't saw none of them. That is after they got straightened out and started growing.
Yeah.
Heck, they were just little old puny things when they was born.
Yeah.
I think he had 7 or 8 when I last time I was down here.
That's right.
The only time, the furthest I've been out is when me and Faye walked over there when he was picking up that hay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the furthest away from this place I've been.
Yeah.
But believe me, I got caught up on my walking just a little bit while I was home.
You getting to use your feet again?
That's right. They didn't want me to. I had Mama to fight, Daddy to fight. I had them all to fight. But I just got up and walked off.
Setting that
way
you go is
oh, but I ain't going to do it. No, it may be, may not be the thing for me, but I can't help it. I got to move.
I don't know anything that makes you healthy. I don't see how that could be hard on you. Do you?
No, like I went out to my brother's last Friday was a week ago. Oh, by golly, last Friday. Last Friday, yeah. He had 287 bales of hay down there. The cloud coming over the hill just like it was going to pour off. Just like it was going to just come a cloudburst, you know. I said, Lawrence, let's go get that hay. Oh, you can't go. I said, let's go. I got in Dad's truck. I said, now you get your truck. And I told her, turn around and I said, Laura, get Lawrence's truck. I'll take Daddy's truck. Lawrence, you bring your tractor and trailer. Let's go get that hay. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 6 o'clock, we had went to the field, picked up 287 bales of hay and put it in the barn.
2 hours.
And they were full-size bales.
Brother, it took a man to lift one of them. They were bales of hay. He let his baler out just as far as it would go.
Oh.
They were bales of hay for as long as that table there.
Oh.
It took two of them girls of mine to pick it up and throw it up in the back of that pickup truck, Daddy.
Makes me tired to think about it.
We got that in and saved it from getting wet.
Yeah, that's awful to have hay down in the cloud coming up.
Oh, ain't that? Oh, my goodness.
That many. Good night.
And about that time, you see, the final break on your baler or something.
Hey. This was the second cutting of clover and orchard grass.
Yeah.
And less to be. I mean, they'll eat every bite of it. There's no waste at all in that kind of seed.
Yeah.
And it's high in protein. My goodness, it's high in protein. That's all it has to feed them, Miss Winter. He won't have to feed them no grain.
Oh, really?
Just roll the hay to them and let them eat. That's all he fed Texas last winter. And he brought him out mud fat this spring.
Well, you know what'll happen down here if they do that.
They'll die.
Well, they just get gone.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this hay, any of it I ever saw. There's some like Bangola, some like Postal, and all like that. Ain't any of it any good.
You still ain't got nothing.
They turn up the nose at Bahia, or some of them turn up the nose at
Coastal. That's why I like to bring couple ton of hay back with me.
Yeah.
Get the right kind of a trailer to go get my horse in.
Horse and hay all in one?
That's right. Me and that Cadillac. I drove that Cadillac up there, drove over 2,000 miles. I ain't put the first quart of oil in it. I ain't had the first minute's trouble with it, no way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
No way. I drove it, mister. I pulled a bridle off and threw it in the back seat.
2,000 miles.
It got so foggy on me last night, well, 1 o'clock this morning. I just couldn't see. I told the girls, I said, well, we're gonna put up over here at this truck stop. We're gonna get up over this little rise here. I said, there's a pure truck stop over there. I said, we're going to put up there for the rest of the night. I put them two in the back seat, and I took over the front seat with my pillar and lay down and slept like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up at 7 o'clock this morning, and the fog was so still thick you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah.
I just rolled over and went back to sleep. They're still sleeping.
Yeah. Well, Cookie, that's why you ought to go to sleep when you can't sleep at night. Just go out and get in the car.
Got the truck stop.
And, that was in Glenville, Georgia. Just over in Georgia, out of South Carolina. Not too far. And I pulled out at 8 o'clock this morning.
Well, there. Much better off in Georgia.
15 minutes after 11, I pulled in Helen's house. 3 hours and 15 minutes. Across Georgia and 100 miles down in Florida.
You ought to have your head again.
And that same old Cadillac.
That same old Cadillac. The longer you run, the better it runs, seem like.
Yeah. You know, Cookie, it's, you were pushing things when you got that truck. You're going too fast. You would have gone 6 months a year and let everything ride. Too much money in it.
Well, I can see my mistake now, but I couldn't see it then.
I can see it. I don't mean it didn't need it, but I mean there's too many loose ends. And that was too much out. That one whack.
Well, that's the third time that's happened to me. I get to the top, just ready to step in the top of that ladder, do you know how I got it made? Someone comes along and just kicks the ladder out from under me, drops me back down the ground again.
Yes?
I got to go all over again now. I got to start at the ground and go up.
Got a Cadillac. It'll run.
And it's dependable. I drove it back down here on, I think it's $5 more money than Laura used on that Chevy Nova.
Yeah.
You can have the cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had all of the heavy load.
Yeah.
I brought all the heavy load.
Yeah. Because you can't load that little Chevy
load. So, she had put the load in her car, as I put in mine. Fellas, it'd been neat and tough which one got the best gas mileage.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yes.
And the air conditioning.
Yeah.
See, I run the air conditioning on mine.
Hey.
What you want?
Just clear the table.
I run the air conditioner on mine.
Oh, that's right.
I run the air conditioner on mine.
That makes a difference,
yes, sir. I left the windows down. Run the air conditioner to keep the heat from coming from the motor right back in my face, see?
Yeah.
I just run the air conditioner low just for that.
I always found that.
Do you need some more
of this? Oh, I'm full. That cut a little bit in my mileage, but not that much.
Well.
But loading the car down.
My bump is solid coming back all the way. My back springs, it bumps solid.
Settled? It's down on those rubber cushions?
Yes, sir. All the way back. I have to be careful where I pull off or drag my tailpipes.
Mm.
Is that right?
That's the truth. And then it just cost me $5 more money for gas than it did Helen and Laura.
You got a bigger engine too, don't you?
She got a 6-cylinder engine.
$5 wouldn't be that much at all, and I think you won, sort of, give you a handicap.
Of course, then I had power. I got all power.
Yeah. That drags, doesn't it? Power steering and something like that?
It all takes power.
Well,
I can sit there and cruise 80 and 90 miles an hour.
That thing never heat up?
No. Never got up to normal.
Stayed cold?
The heat gauge got halfway between. They never got up to the halfway mark. At no time.
Some of those heat up once you get past 60.
The heat gauge on my car never got up to the halfway mark at no time.
Yeah.
I need to open it.
Yeah.
I get a straight set where I can see out in front of me way out on it for miles and miles and miles. And nobody behind me, I'd shovel in the coal.
Yeah. What about the You was flat out to Korea.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And then they had that truck stop.
Yeah. Then I had this. I'm gonna sell my little Ford.
You still got your little Ford?
Yeah, I'm gonna sell it. Got to go.
Well, Franklin doing pretty well over to Eddie's. You haven't seen him? You don't know.
Yeah, I stopped by there just a while ago. Just a minute. I got to go pick him up in a little while. I'm gonna go take Alan to work.
Start your traveling again.
Take her to work, pick her up in the morning. Then I'm crying for work.
I don't know, Cookie, how. It looks like. You know, some things don't yield to pressure. I used to think almost anything would yield to pressure if you had the energy in you. If you put it out, you would work it out. But I've got now so many things, and all of them take effort, that, you see, when nothing works out, everything you do is wearisome, isn't it?
That's right.
Do you know, now you see, I thought the one person I could deal with was Red Smith down there. But you can't. They brought that tractor back up here, and the drawbar, the pin wouldn't go in. It wouldn't reach through it. Well, I didn't want to go down there and start fussing about that, and I kind of hated to make them come up here and fix it. Because they've been accommodating to me so many times, you know. They worked on that steering gear and the side plate, they left it off and never have found it.
They never have found it.
Never have found it.
They probably drove in a crash.
Yes. And I bought, all these batteries were going down so fast, I bought a new charger and paid $26 for it. That little red thing.
Yeah.
We got up here and used it time too, and it wouldn't work. It worked on a 6-volt, but it wasn't on a 12. Now, I don't trust my judgment. You know that, don't you? Don't you? Rick tried it and Eddie tried it. And you'd put it on that 12-volt thing, and it'd start clicking back and forth. I took it back down there, and he said the battery, the man who handled those things wasn't there today. That's what they get you at, you see.
After you make a trip all the way down there.
Yeah, right. Yes. And then he told me, when I went down there, we went down there Tuesday this week, he told me that he'd tried it out on 6 cars or tractors, and it had worked on all of them. Now, where did that leave me?
He just made a liar out of you.
That's Red Smith.
He just made a liar out of you.
Yes. And he didn't seem to be. I tried to save him money. He says, if you want to, you can turn it back in. I says, I don't have to turn it back in. I thought I needed it, but I'm making his hay a bit. I want to keep things going. I thought I needed it, but I guess I can get along. And then when I go back down there, he's nasty. Down there at the Red Smith's, you see?
Yeah.
The one place I thought I could do business.
Well, they done daddy. He'd been dealing with international. Bought all this equipment from him. About $10,000 worth of equipment. And them low-down rascals He went to get a set of brakes for his tractor. He got a set last year. It cost him $17. Showed me the bill. He went to get a set this year and they wanted $34 for them. Just exactly double. $34. Daddy said no. He said, I'll drag my feet first. Made him put them back on the shelf. He goes to Ripley, to an international place over there, and he gets them for $17.
Well, but look how that makes a fella feel.
It cost Daddy about $10 to go all over to this other place, but he said, at least they didn't take me for a haul. That's the way he is. He'll do it. He'll spend $50 to keep somebody else from taking him for $10.
Yeah, taking him for it.
That's all it amounts to, just taking him. Well, that bear's gonna get off moisture in about 15 minutes. I better go. Shake him loose. He better get off more than 15 minutes.
Well, you gotta get over yonder and...
Let's see. 20 and 20 is 40 and 20 is 60. I got 60 miles yet to drive tonight. About 20 minutes after 10. 60
miles.
I got to go home. Take care of the work. Get back home. I don't have much 40 miles, about 20 minutes after 10, but the time I go up and fight with them and get her out, well, it'll be.
And you can go to work tomorrow?
I can go to work tomorrow. They say I'm able, but they never give me a physical. Now, how in the hell do they know my condition? They didn't even give me an x-ray.
Hope it did.
That's right.
What is today? Thursday.
Yeah. I know what they're doing. I can see straight to it. She's the 7th of this month. I'll be off 6 months. Off from work 6 months. Well, they're trying to get me to go back to work before the 7th. So I had to waiver my 6 months waiting period on my Social Security.
Oh, I see.
Well, I may just be contrary. I just may not do it. If I can sell that little Ford to somebody, I know I won't. If I can sell that little Ford... About 2.5. I know I won't go back to work. Rick, you know anybody wants to buy a good cheap car? 6-cylinder? 63 Model 4?
I can look around.
Look good, runs good. Good rubber on it.
We ought to make Rick
got 49,000 axles.
Turn a little money on it for us.
Yeah, I'll pay him for it. If he gets me a sale for it, I'll pay him.
Yes, he ought to learn some of your lessons, you see. You can get out an old 52 truck, and first thing you know, you got to follow it, and you don't have to work if you don't want to. He ought to learn something, oughtn't he?
He ought to, yeah.
Yes. This would be starting way up the ladder, wouldn't it?
That'd get me up on the first step.
Yeah. I mean, this would be starting him.
That'd be
up on
starting
the
him, yeah.
Way up on the ladder, getting up in the 63.
Yeah. I started back by golly old 49 to 50 model.
Yes, yes. He'd done well in them. I'll tell you, I'll never forget that.
It's a good old car. Runs good, good rubber on, radio, heater, all the glass in it, the inside's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, Cookie just got the badges on him. He could take that around and he wouldn't have to put a sign on it or anything, and they'd come up to that and start dickering, wouldn't they? Now, how did they, how... I don't know. And they don't have to know you, do they?
Not necessarily. I tell you, people just about knows a horse trader when they see one. But
that's it.
That's about the way he wears his hat. Yeah.
Is that all right, Cookie?
You just about tell.
You spot
him? I just about spot a horse trader when I see him.
That's
true. Boy, we met one and cleaned his plow while we was home, me and Daddy.
Oh, you did?
And we bought that big horse of mine, Daddy gave me. We cleaned him out.
Yeah, he just
did
it to you.
Practically. Compared to what he was asking.
Down.
He was asking 2.5 to start with.
And he's worth it.
He's worth every dime of it and then some.
Yeah.
And I walked over to Daddy and I said, Daddy, you got any money? Said, yeah, I got a little bit. He said, how much you want? I told him. I walked up to old Frank McGuire and I said, now Frank, he's awful bad to cuss, you know. I said, you know damn well that horse ain't worth that much money. Because I've got to take him to Florida and it'll cost me $200 to get him home. That put me $450 on that horse and you know he's not worth it. Are you going to take him to Florida? If we trade for him, he's Florida bound, buddy. Well, he said, now there ain't a better workhorse in Roane County than that horse. I said, I don't doubt your word. But I've not saw nothing yet. All I'm buying is that horse carcass right there. Right the way he stands. And I said, you done told me you didn't even have a halter for it. And I said, you get down off your high horse and come on down to my bracket. And I said, I'll find my best trade for you because I like it. Didn't tell him that I had a mate for him down here, see.
Oh.
I didn't tell him that I had old Rowdy down here, and he knew Rowdy.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Tried his best to buy him off of Dad.
Oh, I see. To go with this one?
No. He tried to buy the pair down here to work, see.
Oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't tell him. I said, Frank McLaughlin, if you want to sell that horse, I'll just give you $150 today. Now I said, take it or leave it. I've got to go. I said, Betty, let's go. I cranked the truck up. I pulled about half the length of that truck, I guess. Hey, wait a minute. He said, I got a collar to go with that horse. He said, how much will you give me for the horse and the collar? I said, you done told me that collar wasn't no good. Now, if you want $150 for the horse and throw the collar in, I'll stop and talk with you. Well, he said, I've got to sell him. I ain't got a straw or hay put up. I've got no pasture. And that's one time that Frank McGuffin told the truth. Because he was a trimming oaks and hickories and sassafras brush that high. That horse was to stay alive.
Oh.
He was actually eating the leaves and twigs off of them trees. My dad will stand there, my dad will tell you the same thing.
He was in bad shape.
And I said, well, I'll come back and get the horse tomorrow evening. Then he said, all right. I didn't pay him for him right then, though. I went back Tuesday evening and got my brother. And when I got him in the truck, I paid Frank McLaughlin for that horse. Because them horse traders is tricky.
Oh, what would he like me to do?
He might have sold him to somebody else and swore and jumped up and down that they stole him, see?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That happens right up there.
Yeah. That's part of the...
That's part of the game.
Yeah.
You don't pay him until he's in.
And if you don't know the game, it costs you to learn it.
It'll cost you in the long run. Sooner or later, you'll pay for that game.
Yeah. They're not going to watch out for your interest.
No, not at all. He wouldn't even help me load it. He'd never been loaded but one time before. And he wouldn't even help me load it.
For that horse, if you don't take him right then, that fellow doesn't have to worry about him anymore, does he?
No.
So you couldn't say anything if he told you he'd been stolen. He wouldn't have to worry at all.
But the horse been raised right there in that community. Dad knew the horse.
Oh. Yeah.
And he's the same age around him.
You know, I kept telling you, I was thinking, I'd better get a little fertilizer out here and put on that thing so it'll grow up a little bit. It's,
I'll get some fertilizer to put out on it.
Where are you going to get it?
I'll buy some fertilizer.
Well, you see, the Seminole were just...
Yeah, well,
right
now, I'll pay for it.
I didn't fertilize the whole thing because it was growing too much.
Yeah.
I made two trips around it. But I put it pretty heavy around it.
Yeah.
So there's all out there in the middle that really needed fertilizer. But it won't grow so much from now on.
No.